everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Bethany Gilbert, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coram Deo Church and Pastor Chris Emmelman of First City Church. On Wednesdays, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. Today, we're talking about AI versus agency.
Still getting my voice back, y'all.
Wow. On it. Man, someday, you know?
We have done a lot of podcasts on AI recently.
I was going to say, this is where I admit I've been a bad podcast listener.
Because you
I
just haven't listened. AI
when I see AI, I'm just like, oh, I don't know.
That again?
Yeah. Your husband is the opposite, though.
I know. I was like, you got the wrong Gilbert on this podcast.
Your husband
today.
Is like, this is his world, is the world of coding and AI and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, you found this article and sent it along and thought it would be good to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, we are on the cutting edge of talking about AI, apparently.
Might as well.
Yeah. Let's do it. So I thought, you know, oftentimes people are like, hey, how do I respond to this? How should I be thinking about this, using it? And I thought this was an interesting angle to consider. Hey, if AI is going to be increasingly used in our culture, that this is a thoughtful way to, hey, how can I maybe counterform in some ways to the influence of AI, but then also what are the opportunities, kind of human lived in opportunities. So that's what I thought this article would be interesting.
All right. Here's the subtext of the article. Here's the bumper sticker. With AI, intelligence is no longer scarce, but agency is. This has implications. So that's where we're going with this podcast, is to help us think about the difference between intelligence, which is no longer scarce because of AI, and agency, which this author is saying, hey, actually, that is going to be more scarce. So it's a take on exactly what Chris said. In a world of increasing sort of artificial intelligence, what's the opportunity? What's the place where, as we think about formation and leadership, that there's an opportunity here? Before we do that, let's just zoom out a little bit and say, okay, so, you know, you guys know I'm a little bit of an AI skeptic.
We've heard that.
Yeah, I don't think AI is going to change the entire world in all the ways. I think some of the claims being made for it are way overblown. But I think we have to acknowledge, but it is going to change some stuff. I mean, it already is, you know. It will have an effect and will probably change the world we live in certain ways that specifically relate to productivity, right? It's already replacing some jobs that used to take a certain kind of creativity, and now AI can do them. Can it do them as well? I don't know.
That remains to be seen.
Bethany, your husband was telling me that, because one of the things your husband does is to pay composers to write music for things. And he was saying there's actually people trying to do AI music now where it's just like,
it sounds so weird.
Yeah. It's like fake music. You can tell that it's not written by someone who's a composer, but if you're not listening super closely,
exactly.
It's just under a video or in the background, you might not know.
Mm-hmm.
So AI is going to have an effect. And this author, by the way, this is a piece that is on Substack, written by Jeff Giese, who's a friend of Peter Thiel's. He's an entrepreneur, Silicon Valley person, venture capitalist, who then kind of turned into a writer, thinker. So he's got an interesting trajectory. He started out in venture capital and starting companies and doing the whole Silicon Valley thing. And now he's kind of more of a writer, thinker. He did some stuff in politics for a while. But his point in this article is quite simple, and that is, he says, I've come to believe that agency, the ability to start, decide, act, adapt, and follow through, is rising in importance as AI continues to spread. We're used to seeing raw intelligence as the ultimate advantage, but something is shifting. Intelligence is now everywhere. It's no longer scarce. The rare thing now is the ability and will to use it effectively. What do you guys think about just that basic thesis?
Two things. One, I think it's incredibly hopeful. Like the idea that, you know, because I think sometimes people feel like AI is such a threat and it's going to like overtake. And so, yeah, we can have conversations about, hey, it's, you know, the influence, the impact it's going to have and what it's capable of might be overblown. But here's just a guy saying, hey, listen, this fundamental human, like beautiful human thing of like taking agency, taking initiative, like that is going to be the superpower. That's going to be the difference maker. And there's a reality there of like, hey, you don't have to be like super smart. You don't have to have a PhD or go to like an elite institution, there's just the sense of like, hey, if you take initiative, hard work, grit, that's going to matter. And I'm like, oh man, that's actually encouraging to hear. I think the other thing that is interesting is how so often there has been this line that intelligence or IQ or knowledge is the key to everything. And the fact that that's getting flattened, I think is actually kind of cool because I think we, and not to say that there isn't some truth to that, but I love any time that there's like a kind of a smashing of like over-reliance on one thing. And just to say, hey, look, knowledge and IQ are a thing and they can get you so far, but really it's less about that kind of thing and more about this very human thing about, you know, the activity, the action. So I read this article and I'm like, this is actually very hopeful for me. And also I think shatters some misconceptions or excuses even of like, hey, I don't have the right education or whatever. It's like, no, just go. Yeah, really go take initiative, do stuff.
Bethany, your tremendously cute little child is 1 year old now, right?
Yep.
And one of the things that caused this author to reflect on this was he's thinking about the education of his own child. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, you know, I was thinking about like, what educational decisions do I want to make? And to Chris's point, parents usually think about this of like, how do I get them on the, you know, the track to learning as fast as possible and really being a smart kid. But this author says more and more, I find myself thinking about cultivating agency. Mm. I want him to be active, adaptable, and street smart in an AI-centered world, not just book smart.
Right.
I want him morally grounded and capable of critical thinking too. How do you think about that when you think about your own, you know, decisions you're going to have to make when it comes to education in the next few years? Is agency a thing for you, or is this a new thought?
I mean, I kind of feel like it's a new thought, and I honestly hear it, and I feel like I'm somebody who can tend towards passivity. And so I'm like, oh crap, I'm going to have to actually like start doing stuff and maybe becoming a little bit more ambitious. But yeah, it was new, I think, for me to kind of think about in light of raising a child and like, what do I want her to pursue, or like, what is even like her education going to look like in light of this too? I don't know.
I think that's what's weird is like, because Dusty and I are trying to get our kids jobs right now, but like by the time your child grows up, AI might have really shot. I mean, the work world might be very different 2 decades from now than it is right now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Dusty, what do you think about this line in the article? In my 20s and 30s, says the author, I had more thumos, more spiritedness when it came to acting fast and decisively. I'm trying to reawaken that muscle. Does that resonate with the 45-year-old guy in the room?
Well, you can see my star and my highlights on that line, partly because I was like, man, this guy's reading my mail over here.
I feel that.
Yeah, I think he's on to something, and I think we already can, I think, you know, I have a daughter who's 19, a son who's 21, married obviously to another 21-year-old. And I think you can see it in that demographic right now. This, they have all the information that they want at their fingertips. And really the thing they're wrestling through is, what do I do with it? And do I want to be on social media? Do I want to be in these spaces? And when those things were new, like for example, when the iPhone came out, we all were like, well, let's get one of those, you know? And when's the next one going to come out? When is this going to keep developing to the point where we can know more and have more and be more? And now I think this age of agency is what he's calling it is at play already. Because I think you see younger people doing less and less stuff online, partly because they're realizing they don't have to. Whereas about 10 years ago, it was like, well, this is the future, guys, you know, that you're going to have to be you're going to have to play in this sandbox. And now they're like, well, that sandbox is always going to be there and I can play in it when I want. Mm-hmm. And that's a different type of decision making, you know?
Yeah.
So I think you already kind of see some of this with younger people who are trying. So this, if this is true, it changes the conversation from who's the smartest guy in the room to, the smartest guy in the room happens to be the person who can manage the information the best, not just be the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the chart that's in the middle of this article. Your joke is he has a little line underneath it that says, I made this one myself.
Yeah.
Cause he's got a couple other charts in here that aren't his. He borrowed them from other people, but this one apparently is his.
Some great memes too.
Yeah. Some great good memes. The meme, by the way, if you guys are familiar with memes, he's got the is it Captain Phillips? Is that the movie?
Yeah.
The meme with the Sudanese pirate where he's having the conversation with Tom Hanks and says, "Look at me." You remember this scene in the movie where he's telling Tom Hanks, "Look at me, I'm the captain now." Mm. And the meme is, "Look at me, I have AI now." So it's like, hey, even your Sudanese or Somali pirates have AI now. So it doesn't matter if you're the smartest guy in the room. Anybody can get the information.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But this chart has four eras: the agricultural age, the industrial age, the knowledge age, and the intelligence age. Those are the four eras. And then in each era, what is the dominant trait and why did it matter? So in the agricultural age, you know, think before the Industrial Revolution, the dominant traits that mattered were strength and diligence. Why? Because success depended on physical labor, endurance, and steady repetition across seasons. All right. So you got to be strong, you got to endure, you got to keep doing the same thing in order to make it in the agricultural age. Then you had the industrial age, and what the dominant traits that mattered in the industrial age were conformity and discipline. Why? Because systems and machines needed punctual, obedient, rule-following workers to scale. So you need to learn how to work this machine and keep working this machine, because if we're going to scale this business and grow it, we got to have a bunch of people who just know how to do the tasks on the factory floor to make the output. That's the industrial age. Now, the past 80 or so years, you could call the knowledge age. The dominant traits in that era were intelligence and credentialism. Why? Because cognitive abilities, smarts, and formal education became the gateway to upward mobility, right? Think about over the last 100 years, man, if you have a degree from Harvard or Yale or Princeton, you're probably going to have a pretty good job, because it's just, you know, you get into the elite institutions, you show that you're smart, and then that kind of opens doors to other things. And so even if you never went to the Ivy League, that same thing kind of played out. Like, you think about how most people in our demographic and age at least have a college degree. My grandparents might not have, but I do, because that became very normative of like, yeah, if you want to get a decent job, you need to go to college and get a degree, right? That became more and more common in the knowledge age. The fourth age, he says, now we're moving into the intelligence age. And the dominant traits here are agency and adaptability, says this author. Why? Well, because intelligence is abundant. Your phone knows everything there is to know. Those who act decisively and flex with change will rise the fastest. And I think that's an interesting observation, that basically, can you act decisively,
yeah,
and can you adapt? And I was actually thinking about this when I was talking with your husband, Bethany, because he works for a company that started out doing mostly visual effects. And this was 10 years ago or so, mm-hmm, right? They were like got into building an app that had a really cool visual effects, but kind of pivoted, like, where now a lot of what they do has more to do with music, yeah, because they had to adapt. And they realized, because all the companies started coming out with their own visual effects filters, and suddenly there was a saturation in that market. And so they had to kind of pivot. And any good entrepreneur does that. They know, okay, I might start out this direction, but if the market changes, I got to pivot to figure out, where's the next opportunity? Where can I make money? And that capacity for adaptability does seem like it's going to be more and more important in the years to come.
Yeah. And with that, what are the key kind of cognitive functions and skills to adaptability? Is it the ability to kind of analyze, synthesize, like see ahead? It's like how you're processing the information versus just kind of raw information. Like, so that's another thing, as you were going through these charts, like, so in the knowledge age, you know, cognitive ability and formal education, you know, there are certain skills that requires, like, you know, to get through school, you have to be able to consume information. You have to, you know, there's synthesis, there's analysis, there's that kind of stuff. But it seems like now what we're doing with the information, how we're processing the information has shifted, because there's such an abundance of it. So it's not just a matter of, do I know it or do I have the information, but what am I doing with that in a way? And so adaptability, I think that's where I'm like interested in, like, digging into that of like, what are the key factors of adaptability that gives someone the ability to utilize that in an effective way?
Yeah, I would say adaptability, but also I got to make sure I don't get paralyzed by all of the information, yeah, you know, because there's so much more to analyze.
Yeah.
And there's so much more to take in. And so I think the Christian virtue there would be courage.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to be decisive about certain things, maybe at the expense of, you know, reputation or whatever it is, but it's not going to matter because this is Christian courage on display to make this particular decision.
Yeah. Because when you think about what AI, one of the functions of AI that I think is, at least, I mean, I use it a lot, is it does synthesize information. It does kind of take here's a whole bunch of stuff, kind of try to boil it down. But if you think of my ability to do that as a, you know, it's just my own ability to do that. But then, okay, what if I utilize that as, you know, that function of AI, I still got to act on it. And so do I have the courage? Do I have the faith? Do I have the will to step out and go, okay, let's do something with this, and run the risk of, you know, this either succeeding or failing. So I'm hopeful in this, but I'm also like asking the question, okay, what kind of cognitive features of this maybe are more prominent?
Okay. So the article starts with, I guess this is kind of a verbal meme, Bethany. I don't know if I'm using the word meme correctly, but the line is you can just do things.
Yeah.
That's kind of been a meme on social media. It's like people saying like, hey, you can just do things. But his point, the reason he starts with that line is because his point, Chris, is that agency grows through practice, not theory. Like to build agency, you just have to do stuff.
Yeah.
And cultivating individual agency means starting things before they feel ready. It means having a bias toward action. It means getting back to doing rather than overthinking.
Yes.
So it really is like you're using the language of cognitive skills. I don't know what are the most important cognitive disciplines, but it seems like he's saying one of the things is just like starting stuff, doing stuff, getting things going.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you know, you had your kids start a mowing business when they were younger, and it's sort of like, it's that kind of thing of like, hey, how can I hustle and make money if I'm 14?
You know? Just start stuff.
Yeah.
And we would tell everybody in their 20s in our church, we tell them all the time, just do as much stuff as you possibly can. Because you don't have to have it all figured out right now. So, but if you don't try a few things, you're never going to know what you should be doing with your life.
I think my AI is going to definitely disrupt my skill set. Because if I think about like, what am I good at? How have I like sort of made my way in the world? I can read fast and I can synthesize stuff pretty effectively. Mm-hmm. Which are the two things that AI can do better than me.
Oh no.
You know, so it's like,
you're obsolete.
You've met your match.
I have friends that joke with me that basically they're just like, I'll just give it a month. Bob will send us a PDF on that book. You know, so like, don't read the book. Bob will read it. Because I like to read information and then synthesize it and try to like distill it down so that people can understand it. But actually that set of things is exactly what AI does. It's like, hey, give me a one page summary of this book or this topic or what's out there on this. So that skill set that I have spent years refining actually probably isn't going to be super helpful.
Bob, you need your Dwight Schrute versus the machine moment. Remember that episode where he tries to sell more paper than the website and he beats it? You need that. You need to defeat. I can process more information and summarize more things in a shorter amount of time. We need to have this.
I think I could do it more humanly to Bethany's point. I think I can do it where you know it's human rather than AI. But what I realized is, but if I think about agency, so here's the difference in my story is, actually the things that I've done that required initiative, risk, just doing something, there are kind of two of them in the history of my life, starting a church and starting a school. Because you just got to try some stuff. And there's a lot of risk and it's like, it's either going to work or it's not, but somebody's got to step out and say, we're doing this. And those things in my life and leadership have been like, AI couldn't have done that, you know?
Right.
And it took a whole different set of skills in me than I could read about classical education all day and write papers about it. And I have a pretty good 10-point article on the website of how, you know, why I think this is good. But when it comes down to it, that's different than starting a school that does that. And so I have learned the difference in my own life of like, agency is harder. It's a little more risky. It exercises a whole different skill set, but I can see that it does produce a different kind of thing than just my more knowledge capacities or my synthesis capacities.
That story reminds me of we're starting a really small group here, and rather than just having it all figured out and excellent before we start it, my opinion right now is just like, let's just do something. Like, we just got to get this thing off the ground and refine it as we go. You know, like, we just got to stop theorizing about everything and just make stuff happen. And I think he's onto something when he's talking about basically our kids and your kid, Bethany. Like, this is where things are headed.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to Google and do anything you want information wise. The paralysis is going to come with what you're mentioning, Bob. Am I going to actually act? Do I have the courage to lean into this? And I think this is all a great apologetic for the church.
In
because,
what way?
Well, if we're talking individualistic, which is kind of how we've been talking so far, I think the community aspect of it, I think it's a great apologetic for, like, if all the information is available to us as individuals, then as a community, this is going to have to get synthesized and a little bit more dense, and the community can be strengthened, because I guess what I'm trying to say here is relationship is going to be very important. If information is just at my disposal all the time, then the relational matrix of how I'm processing all of that is going to be really, really vital.
Yeah. Cause he makes the point here where it's the more powerful agency becomes, the more responsibility comes with it. Schools need to adapt to this new environment, giving kids space to build, explore, and self-direct. But as we cultivate agency, it's also important that we imbue our culture with a sense of the good, with moral and ethical frameworks, with guardrails. And so that's, you know, what community does is it shapes you into a particular type of person.
Right.
And so we're looking at the cultivation of character and virtue along with the cultivation of agency, because the implications, I mean, he gives some really interesting examples of, you know, he's like, my friend who experimented with pipe bombs in the school field, you know, it's like, that's like a small little thing, this little fringe kind of thing. But now with the information that we have available to us, you know, you can do some pretty scary stuff. And so all the more that agency comes with moral cultivation. And I think that's another opportunity. That's an incredible opportunity for the church to speak into this stuff.
I also think the category of wisdom is going to become more and more important, because
I was going to ask if wisdom has a connection here.
Yeah, I think wisdom is the thing forward, because just because I have all this information and can do all of these things, the sky's the limit. Well, that doesn't mean we should be. And so I think Christians are going to have to live a pretty distinct, honorable life in this type of world.
I wonder if there's a connection here, the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Because, you know, intelligence is knowledge, right? It's, I have all the information, I can do something, I can synthesize the information and deliver it to you in whatever way you want. That's what AI does well. Wisdom is the capacity to know, what do I do with that information? Mm-hmm. How is it useful? How do I do something meaningful with it? How do I create something with it? And that's the thing that AI doesn't do.
Yeah. No computer can do that.
Yeah, it doesn't. It requires initiative. It requires somebody saying, hey, here's a pattern I see. Let's do something with that, or let's move this forward in some way. And I was thinking about the Dusty, you suggested to us a podcast, maybe it's been maybe a year ago now, on competence, building competence.
Yeah.
And I think if I think about, like, for kids or students or young people, how do you help them cultivate agency? A lot of it's just like building competence, right? Helping mm-hmm. them feel like they're good at stuff, helping them learn to do stuff, you know. Things like robotics or sports or music, these are just ways of building competencies that, do they immediately lead to some job in the world? Probably not. But what they do is they help students, kids, young people figure out, oh, I have agency. I can,
right.
Yeah, I figured out how to play the clarinet. I bet I could also figure out how to code. You know, like it just helps them see that I can do things in the world and use my powers in a way that moves outward toward creating something. And that's the thing that I think especially parents need to make sure that we're cultivating, yes. is just helping kids do that. And it's funny, I'm paying attention on social media to, like, you know, there's still a mom every once in a while that gets arrested for letting her kid go to Chick-fil-A by himself or like ride the subway. You know, it's just like, let your kids do stuff. It's okay. Yeah. They're not, yeah, you know, the world's not a scary place. It can be, but it's okay that your kid walks down the street to the grocery store and buys you some milk. That's a good, you know, that's cultivating agency. It's helping kids learn the world and learn their skill set.
We lived in the age where you could have bought your parents cigarettes.
Yeah, seriously.
So I mean,
seriously,
we made it.
It's a different world now, Dusty.
It's interesting to think about what you're saying there. As growing up, we've grown up in this culture where we've had to think a lot about what we want to do with our life. And if this is true, it seems like the way forward is try as much stuff as possible so that you start to have the muscles and the reflexes to just feel competent and to be able to synthesize all this information that's going to be at your disposal from here forward.
Yeah. The age of agency, age of doing. And I, you know, trying to think of how to fit this thought in, but it's, you know, as he emphasized, there is a, you know, going to college that is, you know, is an important piece. You know, you think of the, you know, the economy and the world we live in, you know, higher education, but there is also at times outsized emphasis on, you know, hey, you have to go to X school. And those things provide value. There's networks that you connect with and stuff, but really what it seems as if, hey, those things, while they still have value, it's less about, you know, the exact place you went to school and more about, hey, going to school as a means to grow in agency is the thing. And so, yeah, get good grades. Yeah. Engage a good career field, but it's less about, hey, do I have this, you know, stamp from X school or the status that that brings, and more, hey, you could be a smart guy, have the, you know, an Ivy League education, but if you ain't doing stuff, like what's the difference? Like, because yeah, AI can do exactly what your Ivy League education can do. And so just that thought of like, man, agency in and above even some of the other social markers that we tend to identify as status symbols. It's just, I think it's a new world in some ways, humbling, but I think also necessary in some ways.
I would also like to say it's a new world, but it's not, you know, to use that language of Ecclesiastes, right? There's nothing new under the sun. There's no end to the books that will be written. But in other words, the same things that have always marked Christian wisdom are going to continue to be valuable in the world. The capacity to act, to reflect, to live with wisdom in the world, to know what's the right move to make in a given situation. Those things have always been part of biblical wisdom. And sometimes Christians have sort of defaulted to whatever the culture tells us, you know, here's the skill set you need, or here's the resume you need, or here's the, you know, the set of tools you need to be successful in the world. But actually, part of what we're talking about here is just to say, yeah, the book of Proverbs is still true and always has been, and it's going to continue to give us leverage in the world we live in and help us serve the world in ways that are a blessing. I was just thinking as you were talking, Chris, my first year of college, I studied engineering. Thought I was going to be an engineer. I was reaching out to a friend of my dad's who ran a semiconductor company. It was a really, really successful entrepreneur who had started this company from scratch and at the early days of the sort of computer era. And so I was asking, hey, could I come and do an internship over the summer? He said, yeah, you can. Not only that, I'll hire you when you graduate if you get an engineering degree. The problem is I'll have to unlearn everything they taught you, because I don't care about anything they teach you in college. Like, it's not going to help. He's basically like, it's good that you have the degree, but I'm going to have to reteach you everything they teach you. Because his point was, what we're doing in this semiconductor factory is a unique process. No one at your school knows how we do it or knows how to teach you how we do it. And so you might have book knowledge, but you don't yet have practical competence. You don't have the skill set we need. And I think that's true in a lot of areas where, you know, book knowledge can get you to a certain point. But all of us know, I mean, we talk about this even with hiring staff to work in ministry. It's like, great, cool, you got a seminary degree. That's good. You know what else you're going to be able to do? Sit down with somebody and help them, you know, apply the gospel to their problems. And you know what? The seminary can't teach you that.
No.
You got to learn that by doing it.
Yeah. Yep. Hospital visits are a little bit different than that.
Yeah.
I think this is also a good argument for the trades. You know,
yes.
if this is all true, basically, if you want to be a confident electrician, we'll hire you tomorrow. You know, I mean, that's
you know what AI can't do.
Yeah.
Help fix your plumbing.
It's never going to wire your
never
house.
Never going to fix your plumbing. Mm-mm. Nope.
And so I think that's an interesting thing that we're going to watch have happen as well.
Yeah. Well, I hope that at least this is, I mean, part of what we're trying to do on this podcast repeatedly is we are trying to help you engage the world we live in. And I know we've talked about AI a couple times recently, but the reason is because we're hearing so much about it in the culture. And everybody's telling us, hey, this is going to change your life. So far, it's just sort of like a better Google. but I think, you know, it's a better internet search engine, but I think it is going to have start having applications that disrupt our lives in some ways. And so hopefully this is helpful to think about how cultivating agency in yourself, if you resonate with Bethany's comment of, oh, I can be a little passive, renewing agency in yourself and also in people that you love, helping them to build agency, is going to be a significant skill and a significant advantage in what this author calls the intelligence age, which is now upon us. So hope that helps you think a little more robustly about what it means to live with Christian wisdom in such an age.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We love to hear from listeners, so if you have thoughts, questions, or future podcast topics, send an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.